In our most recent editions of Daily Grace, we've been discussing the high priestly ministry of our Lord. It is a marvelous study. My heart has soared as we've considered the depths and the breadth and the glories of our Lord's high priestly intercession on our behalf. We are Christians moment by moment. Our perseverance is tied to the fact of our Lord's high priestly intercession. It is not something that we pull off on our own. It is not something that we impress God by doing. It is something that is impressed upon us by our Lord's high priestly intercession. Now, in today's Daily Grace, I want to talk with you about the better covenant, the new covenant. Our Lord's high priestly intercession mediates a better covenant. Now, there are some things that you should understand about the new covenant that are laid out thoroughly in the letter to the Hebrews. And so I hope you read that letter. I hope you read it thoroughly. I hope you study it. I hope you prayerfully study it, because it is such a powerful letter. And I promise you, you will not be the same person after your study of that letter than you are today. All previous covenants are fulfilled in the new covenant. The new covenant is the final and everlasting covenant. All previous covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, meaning the old covenant, and the Davidic covenant, are all fulfilled in the new covenant. Now, there are theological systems that talk about other covenants that you can't find in Scripture. They talk about a covenant of grace and a covenant of works in the garden and the covenant of redemption, even in eternity. I would encourage you, just stick with the covenants that you can find in Scripture. Don't go beyond that which is written. And what you find in Scripture is the Abrahamic covenant, you find the Mosaic covenant, and the Davidic covenant. And all of those covenants, all previous covenants, are fulfilled in the new covenant. So the new covenant is not the latest expression of another covenant. It is a solely new covenant. The new covenant is the covenant of the Spirit, which brings life, and therefore stands in contrast to the covenant of the letter, which brings death. So the new covenant is a final and everlasting covenant. It is the fulfillment of all previous covenants, and it is a covenant of the Spirit, which brings life, and therefore stands in contrast to the covenant of the letter. Well, we can see that and read that more clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Let me read that to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. There Paul says, quote, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." Let me just interject. That is a tremendous display of apostolic humility. These men knew themselves to be servants, not lords. These men never sought to lord it over the church. They never sought to set themselves up in some kind of a clerical hierarchy. No, Paul says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Nothing originated with them. It came from the Lord Jesus. But our sufficiency is from God, he says. He makes it clear there that his sufficiency is from the triune God, who also made us sufficient, now listen to this, as ministers of the new covenant. Paul was clear that he was a minister of the new covenant. He wasn't touting some revamped, new and improved version of the old covenant. He was preaching a new covenant, not of the letter, as was the old covenant, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. End quote. So the new covenant is the covenant of the Spirit. The new covenant, therefore, is the covenant of regeneration into a new creation, a new nature, which is in accord with the law of God, as summarized by the love of God and neighbor. So the new covenant is a final and everlasting covenant. It is a covenant of the Spirit. It brings life. It is a covenant that promises regeneration into a new creation, a new nature, which is in accord with the law of God as summarized by the love of God and neighbor. The new covenant is unconditional because this condition was met by Christ. We all understand intuitively that there is a condition that must be met by the sinner before a just and holy God. That is good and right and rational. Obviously, a sinner cannot boldly approach the presence of a just and holy God. There must be some condition met. The folly comes when the sinner himself tries to meet that condition through some kind of a works-based, merit-based religion. It can't happen. But the new covenant is unconditional because its condition was met by Christ. The condition was met by Christ in his finished work on our behalf. And it is instituted by his own body and blood. There is simply nothing which must or can be added to Christ's finished work in mediating and instituting the new covenant. It's unconditional to us because its condition was met by Christ. So the apostolic mission was that of men commissioned by Christ, empowered by the Spirit of truth, and serving as ministers of the new covenant. The condition was met by Christ. And the chief apostolic credential, therefore, is not ordination or letters of commendation or titles or positions within the church. The chief apostolic credential. We know we are preaching the apostolic gospel of Jesus Christ because of the transformed lives of the people to whom we preach and minister. Let me say that again. The chief apostolic credential is not ordination or letters of commendation, but the transformed lives of those to whom they minister. Paul says that in his, again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, verses 1 through 3, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles or commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart, end quote. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3. Isn't that beautiful language? Paul is saying so clearly there that the only credential that he relies on is that of a transformed lives. Lives not because he's so eloquent, not because he's so good, but because the message of the new covenant is that of the Spirit and is the Spirit of the living God that is writing this message on the hearts and minds of the people to whom he ministers. So, one other quick point. Christ himself is our new covenant. Christ himself is our new covenant. You won't find the new covenant written on parchment and preserved under glass anywhere. You won't find the new covenant in a museum. You won't find it anywhere because it is written in the minds, in the hearts of God's people. And Christ himself is the new covenant. Where Christ reigns is in his people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The servant, the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 42, and particularly verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called you, speaking of the servant, speaking of the Messiah, in righteousness, and I will hold your hand, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. That's Isaiah 42:6. A similar verse is in Isaiah 49:8, where it speaks of Jesus himself being the new covenant. And that is fulfilled, by the way, in Luke 2, verse 32. So Christ himself is our new covenant. The new covenant is not written on parchment. It's not under glass anywhere. It's not any museum. Christ himself reigns within his people, and he himself is the new covenant. So to the degree then that we draw back to the old covenant by adopting some priestly class or temple or Sabbath laws or rites or rituals that are outside of the new covenant, we are actually denying the sufficiency of Christ. It's a backdoor attempt, indeed, to deny Christ himself. So, let me summarize. The new covenant is the fulfillment of all other covenants. It's not a new and improved old covenant, nor is it merely a subset of theologically fabricated covenants. The new covenant stands alone as instituted by Christ in his own blood and sealed by the gift of the Spirit. The new covenant is the covenant of life, of a new creation, from the inside out, so that the law of God has not been abrogated. The law of God has not been done away with. Very important. The old covenant has been set aside, it's been abolished, it's been fulfilled. It's obsolete. But the law of God has not been done away with. There's a lot of talk about the moral law of God, and that's true. It's understandable. But the moral law of God is no longer on tablets of stone. It is written on the mind and the hearts of God's people. You are being transformed daily. Whether you're conscious of it or not, you are. If you have spiritual life within you, residing with you, as a result of the regenerating work of the Spirit, you are changing. God is working in you. His paramount purpose is to conform you into the image of his Son. And that's directly tied to the finality and the supremacy of the new covenant over all previous covenants, because it is mediated by our high priest. It is instituted by his own body and blood. And indeed, Christ himself is the new covenant. Amen.